beautiful song, and What the Truth. What the Truth. All right. Mark, can you do me a favor? I feel like I'm in the blind here. Let's get these three lights on here a little bit. Paul, Julie, if you don't mind, thank you. Those three right there. Yeah. Can y'all see me better? That means a lot to you, don't Mark? Shouldn't be able to. All right. All right, folks. The book of Revelation is beginning to get very serious. We've got chapter 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. We're in the last third of this. This thing gets running fast. Once we get to the 16th chapter, we're down to the last days of this tremendous tribulation. As I've said throughout all this series, the tribulation goes from good, bad, really bad, and just God. We're getting ready to go into the stage of God. The Antichrist is at a pinch. He's at his strongest. Everybody's had to take the mark of the beast if they want to be able to buy anything, sell anything, survive. His image is everywhere. If you don't bow down to the image, you die. There are some Christian people who are running, hiding, trying to do everything they can to get away. They will not take the mark of the beast. Some of them could be starving. Some of them could just be scared to death. And the Antichrist finds them. He's going to kill them. Now, when we look into these last seven plagues, I just want you to see that God is getting ready to say, it's about over. And for the first time, if we get this far in chapter 16, you're going to hear a word and a battle called Armageddon. Now, everybody at some point in time, even if they don't even go to church, has heard about this thing called the Battle of Armageddon. It's the battle between good and evil. It is the ultimate battle that's coming. We know who the winner's going to be. We're going to look at it, break it down, make sure you understand just what is leading to the worst battle that the planet has ever seen. You put every other war from the time of history together, the blood will not be as deep or flow as long as what's going to happen when Jesus makes one last statement against. Are you ready for the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Larry, if you're ready, I'm ready. Revelation chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. And I heard a great voice down in the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out of the vials the wrath of God upon the earth. The last week we introduced this to you, and you'll see the first one. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a nuisance and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. When it says men, this means mankind, men and women both. He took the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his what?
Image.
Right off the bat, let's make life miserable. Let's begin to affect and cause pain. Now, most people don't like pain. I don't like it. You like pain? I mean, I can take pain. I'm a man.
Right.
They're the biggest babies. Lying from the pulpit.
I can take pain. And maybe women sometimes can take greater pain. I don't know about all that. I've never been a woman. But I've been a man. There's some pain there involved, I know. That's not up for discussion, and I won't get into all that because I'll never win that discussion, so forget about that. All right. Now, there's nothing any worse than a bull or a sore that will not heal. You can't, and I promise you, I'm not going to get graphic, but I promise you, these bulls and sores are going to be places that you're not going to like if you're living during this time. It can be on your feet, your hands, your face, your bottom, inside your mouth, inside your nose, inside your ears, and maybe even internal. Now, what kind of a bad day can you have if you've got sores on all those places? And you won't die. And it's all simply because the wrath of God is coming. Now, before we feel real sorry for these people, folks, they've had every chance under the sun to accept Jesus. I don't feel sorry for this bunch. Not only that, they're stupid enough to take the mark of the beast. They've taken the side of Satan. When you take the side of Satan, payday's coming.
Amen.
That's coming. And I hate it because if the Lord comes tonight, I know a lot of people for the next 7 years is going to be miserable. And you do too. And they've had every chance under the sun. In the TV age, in the computer age, Christianity is going around the world. For the first time in history, we got a lot more people out of church than we got people in church.
Yep.
Amen.
But that's biblical. That's biblical as well. Thank God you got enough sense to know you need to be in God's house.
Amen.
It's going to get bad. All right, everybody, here we go. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of the dead man. Every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became water. Can you imagine? Have you ever been around dead fish in the market? Can you imagine when every living thing in all of the rivers die and in the oceans die? Can you imagine what the stench is going to be on this planet? Can you imagine? I don't care if you don't die after 3 days, you're going to smell like roses compared to what this is going to smell like. Look, the food supply. I'm not a big seafood eater, but I like fish. I like shrimp on occasions. You can forget about that. Food's going to come short fast. The stench is going to be god-awful. Because this world is dying. Little by little by little. With me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Now look at verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Okay, Larry, go ahead. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. It's as if you get the picture that God is looking on all this suffering. And even though these people deserve it, it's hurting God. And the angel said, God, after chance, after chance, after chance, after chance, after chance, after chance. How many chances is someone going to get? You've got family like that. How many chances have they used up? What's left? what you've been warned time after time after time after time, if you ain't got enough sense to change, you got what's coming to you, don't you? I mean, what can you do? I mean, you can't make somebody change. You can't make somebody. I mean, all you do is say, here's what you need to do. If a doctor sits down and says, if you don't do this, and do that, you're going to die. If you keep doing it, what are you going to do? You're going to die. It's time for people to really, truly wake up and to think, I better get it together. If you watch me on the internet, you better get it together, because the clock's running. And I promise you, there's an end to this clock one day. There's an end to it coming one day. People better wake up. Verse 8, look what it says. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and fire was given unto them to scorch men with fire. Are you aware? And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to his glory. Now here's, I want you to just get this picture. I want this to come alive on the page. All right, I got sores on every inch of my body. I got boils on every inch of my body. Food is a little scarce. Now I'm going to get sunburned. On top of all of that. Because the sun's going to get hot. I mean, even people at the South Pole may get a suntan. Now, have you ever really been burnt really bad by the sun? Can you imagine if you had sores all over you? You can't scratch. You can't touch. You can't sleep. You can't sit. You can't do nothing. Now, these people are going to get in a bad mood. Anybody ever been in a bad mood before? Huh? And this is where this thing looks. Look at this. And the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. They blamed God. What are you doing, God? They're the ones that put themselves in that situation, but now they're going to blame God. They're going to cuss God. And repent not. They're going to sit there and cuss God and still not going to say, God, forgive me. What do you do with somebody like that? I don't know what you do. So the fifth angel poured out his mouth upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed means they cussed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not their deeds. Now, the sun goes away, they're burnt to a crisp, they got sores all over them from tip to bottom, no food, and now they're not going to be able to see the hand in front of them. They're going to be blind. Did I tell you this one from bad to worse? How would you like to be this group of people in these last days? Huh? How would you like to be like this? Nobody has to go through this if they would just simply accept the grace of God, the grace of Jesus, and get their act together. I've got to think out some sense and praise God. But no, they don't want to do that. They can do it on their own. And this is what they're facing. And here's what, here, I'm going to tell you this. And this is still nothing compared to what hell is going to be like. This is just a preparation for hell. I don't understand. People of right minds can't understand that there's two things that you're going to face with God one day. Either you're going to face Him with His amazing grace, or you're going to face Him with His amazing judgment. It's black and white. It's there. That's what it is. There is no straddling the fence.
Amen.
It's either grace or judgment. You know what grace is all about. We're all under that grace. The judgment's coming. I don't know what's going to take to wake some people up. Maybe nothing's going to wake them up. They're so blinded in their sin, so blinded in the fact they can do it themselves. And you know what really is
ironic here. There were times in your life when you probably fought a lot like these people did, didn't you? I mean, I did. There were times I thought I could do it on my own. It's my way. Thank God, somehow or another, God gave you enough grace to wake up. But grace is running out because the clock is running. All right, everybody. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water therefore was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, things are changing just a little bit here. Now, I'm going to pick this up here next week, but let me give you a little introduction of what's going to happen. I'm going to point out some very key things getting ready for this battle called Armageddon. The battle, of course, is going to take place in the Middle East. It'll take place in Israel and in that whole part of the world. Everything in that whole part of the world right now is viable, and it's going to always be that way. Right to the north, and I will point this out to you a couple of times, right to the north of that is Russia. To the east. Two of the greatest powers on this planet. That are the most non-Christian countries in the world. Now, there are Christians in both China and Russia. We've got missionaries all over Russia, missionaries all over China. There are a lot of Christian people there, but the countries themselves do not stand for Christianity. Y'all know that. This is a hint to say that there are two great armies that the Antichrist is going to use. The greatest warfare, other than this country, that there is on this planet, that holds the greatest amount of people and the great amount of arm power, is Russia and China. All this is saying here, when the Euphrates River dries up, it is the way for the China army to get ready for the Antichrist. Use him. He's going to throw everything he's got in Jesus. The greatest armies of this planet are going to gather to take on Jesus. You get the picture? I teach this a lot. It's the first time I've ever got this point to preach this. This is what this means. Russia will come into play in a little bit, and we'll point that out to you as well. But all this is doing is giving you an idea that the greatest battle that this world has ever known is coming. You and I are going to be in heaven with Jesus. And in a little while, I'm going to point, because I say this all the time, that we're that army that's coming back with Jesus. And I'm going to point this out to you in Scripture when we get to it. But I want to be on the side of Jesus when this battle takes place.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. This world is getting ready to go to war, holy war. And I promise you, I don't care what the Antichrist, I don't care whatever armies he gathers from around the world. When that Son of God comes on that white horse, he's going to clean the house. Bring all the atomic bombs you want to bring, bring all the tanks you want to bring all the jets you want to bring. When Jesus gets done with this planet, he's getting it ready for the greatest 1,000 years. We're getting there. We're getting there fast. I'm telling you, in these days we live in, this is where you need to be. This is a safe place. This is God's house. This is church. Because one day, when the trumpet sounds, we're going home for a while. But then we're coming back. What day that's going to be. All right. We'll pick this up at verse 13. This gets very interesting, people. That's a lot that's going to happen. You're going to find out in chapter 17, chapter 18 about the false religions of the day. It's a lot coming. And chapter 19 gets here. So we're heading there. We're getting there fast. Now, next Sunday's Mother's Day. Of course, I'm going to preach the Mother's Day sermon. But we will pick this up after Mother's Day. And believe me, this is a journey. Everybody said,
amen.
Stand with me, please. bow and every eye closed. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, we know your presence, your spirit, and your peace is in this place. But Father, judgment and war is coming. Evil and good are coming to an end. But Father, till that time comes, may we witness as much as we know how. Because we've all got people, we all know people that are lost. We need to wake up our families, we need to wake up a lot of people. And say, hey, give Jesus one more try. Please. If you're listening by internet, make sure you understand one thing. You can accept Jesus Christ wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. It can be daylight, it can be dark. You can be in prison. You can be in your home. You can be in your car. You can be in a hospital bed. All you've got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need your grace. I need your salvation. I want to believe in you. And from that moment on, if you're serious, Jesus will come into your life and change you for eternity. Those here in this congregation, if you need a quiet time at this altar, we're going to invite you to come. If anyone here today that's lost, please call and just say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, let me welcome you to the kingdom of God. This is your day. This is your choice. This is your time. Father, bless these moments. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. As Brother Larry begins to play, would you come in the name?